Whoa, we are back. Well, Larry is back. Larry, welcome back to the Barry and Larry Show.
Thank you. It's great to be here. It's been a while, and I'm glad to return.
Glad to see you returning. Glad to see you walking. It was more than a hobble, walking right into the studio today. Of course, we are in Mount Elbert Studio, which is in Remax Masters Millennium Headquarters. Beautiful, beautiful studio. Ryan is in the iHeart Studio. Jesse is with us, keeping us all coordinated. Thank you, gentlemen, in advance. And Chris Coyle is with us this morning. Chris, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Yeah, and it is good to see Larry here. Heck, what a heck of a weekend. I mean, it's a big deal. Lots of data going on, Larry. You know, we've been predicting for weeks, get those homes on the market, get them sold, because July 4th is coming, and that's more than a celebration of freedom for our great country and the beginning of our great country, but rather we see a little slowdown afterwards. And Chris has created all and pulled up all kinds of numbers that all of us have contributed to, but it's data from a year ago, weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, etc. And it is showing what, Chris? What is it showing that was actually a week or two early?
It's showing an upward trend of people actually doing exactly what you said there, Barry, is putting their home on the market and trying to get it sold.
They're putting their home on the market, and home numbers are up on the sales. But what also is up is the days of inventory. Not a surprise. They're not up dramatically. On one hand, if you took percentages, Larry, if we wanted to be dramatic, we could say percentages are up by 60%. Well, it makes it sound like there's 60% more homes on the market. Not quite. Not quite. But really, we now have in the Denver market 13 to 14 days of inventory. Colorado Springs has 17 to 18 days of inventory. And we used to be, both cities a month ago, single-digit numbers. So that's interesting. It's not critical. It's not vital. But we see more numbers of homes on the market and more numbers of buyers buying.
And the one good thing about seeing the market do this is that it's a little easier for buyers to shop and make offers and buy houses.
You're nodding in agreement with that, Chris?
Yeah, definitely. It's the more houses that are available for a buyer, the better the chances they have to get the house that they want.
The better it is for a buyer. What does it mean for the seller? Well, that's our theme today. Not just the seller, but the buyer also. How to navigate this marketplace. And rest assured, the undertone, the undercurrent of our theme, how to navigate this marketplace, is not some lightweight, fluffy little, oh, I'll navigate you through it. No, no, it has to be better than that. You want to be better than that as a home seller and as a home buyer. Our undercurrent today is simply this. Data matters. Timing matters. Two items we're going to focus a lot on today are data and the timing. Not just the timing of data. Data is created when it happens. Timing is what's going on in the marketplace. What is your timing? Should you have listed your home in May rather than June? We were saying it in April and May. The sooner you get it listed, the better. And that does statistically, with data, hard data now, because now we're able to look back a month, proves that to be true. It is still true. Get that home listed before July 4th. Oh, what happens July 4th, Larry? Anything dramatic in the real estate market?
It really isn't. It's just the timing of when schools start. And when people want to get moved in before the school year begins.
So we're not going to see prices go down like off a cliff?
No, I don't think so. You might see minor changes in prices going down a little bit. But
they won't be going down, Larry. That's not what you mean. You mean, what do you mean? Because I heard some crazy buyers, people I love and adore, this week say, well, I was waiting. Maybe the prices will go down. Prices are not going down. Let's not use those words. What did you mean? The rate of appreciation
won't be going up.
To be slowed down a little bit. Won't be going up as much, but let's put that in perspective. We've been using, Larry, while you've been gone, we've been using the car going down I-25 to Colorado Springs or north from Colorado Springs to Denver. This market this year has been more furious than any other year. You know, a couple years ago, we were saying we were going 85 miles an hour, 90. This year, it was 90, 95 to even 100. 100 miles an hour relative to the speed limit of 75. Well, what's happening is that's prices going up that fast. And it's just put in relative terms. Rather than 100 miles an hour, we're already down to 90 miles an hour. Okay? That still is a high rate of appreciation. What is the appreciation rate in Colorado Springs? Well, it's approximately 13 to 14 to 15% per year. When we look at some of the sold numbers, though, Chris, what does it show?
It shows, yeah. I mean, we had quite a year last year, but with the coronavirus and everything, but we're still seeing an over 23% return in Colorado Springs and closer to 30% in Denver.
20 some percent upside in the price sold of homes. Now, that can be affected by both the marketplace, which we call appreciation, and also it is affected by not just COVID last year. That's a relevant factor, not critical, however. But what is critical is maybe more people were buying more higher priced homes. That affects this particular number. So let's talk about appreciation. Colorado Springs remains at 14-15% annualized appreciation, house for house, your house for your house, your neighborhood for your neighborhood, while Denver's under that. Denver is actually lower than that. Denver is in the 10 to 12% gain on your property per year. But that is still high, Larry, and that is not going to go down by much. If 12% in Denver goes down to 10, wow.
I agree with that.
Wow.
And, you know, we have to get used to this kind of marketplace. I don't think it's going to go away quickly, Barry.
That's the next question that we're going to round out this segment with. What is happening for the next 6 months, and what is happening for the next 2, 3 or so years? The next 6 months is when we'll see this ever so slight decline in rate of appreciation. Remember, if it's going to go from 12% to 11 to 10 to 9, that's not a dramatic shift. And that is not a lowering of price. It's a decrease in the rate of increase. That sounds like double talk. A decrease, a slowing down in the rate of appreciation. That's what's happening for the next 6 months. How about the next 2 or 3 years, Larry and Chris and Barry? What do you have to say, Larry?
Well, I think we're going to see some slowdown over the next few years in the marketplace, but it's still going to be a vibrant and strong market.
Chris?
Yeah, I would agree with Larry for the most part, although you never know when it's coming into the future. It should still be a strong marketplace, particularly if you're looking at strong economic markets within, you know, they have solid companies headquartered there, and you're seeing consistent trends year over year with people moving there, particularly such as cities within Colorado.
And I'll put it in perspective. We have over 50 economic vantage points. None of them, hear that? None of them indicate a decline in population. None of them indicate a decline in jobs in Colorado, in the entire Front Range. None of them include a decline of income or salaries or pay. That's going up. None of them indicate a decline in the state amount of taxes going up or down affected much? No, the economy. All indicators are saying, short of some worldwide or nationwide huge catastrophe, short of that, this economy is continuing to roll along at a steady, strong pace. I did not use the word robust. Steady, strong pace. There's no way the prices are going to be decreasing in the foreseeable future, 2, 3 or more years. And Colorado Springs, it would be like, oh, I guess the U.S. military is shutting down, Larry. and they're going to close down Fort Carson, Hole in the Mountain, Peterson Field, all Air Force Academy. When they all shut down, then we could say there's an economy. It would be something of that magnitude. And that is not in the forecast at all. So let's not mix words. The economy is super strong. It is foreseeable. You can predict based on all the indicators, and every indicator, every prediction says, oh yeah, maybe Denver has 12% now. Maybe it's going to go to 11, 10, 9, 8. But it's not going much below that in the foreseeable future. And Colorado Springs, oh, I mean, I say 14 or 15. It's frequently is 16 or 17% in neighborhoods. Maybe it's going to drop to 15, to 13, to 12. And then bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, what makes a strong economy in the United States? If you're using appreciation rates per year, a strong economy is usually indicated by a 3 or a 4% rate of appreciation. We're nowhere near that in Colorado. We're way above that. What does that say? Colorado remains one of the top three states for the good of residential real estate. Or is it residential real estate is benefiting from the good economy of Colorado? That's the bottom line. So let's take a break, and then let's come back, Larry, and let's talk about you that now that you're back and what it takes to succeed as a seller in this market. Because you were in the upper end. You had some changes with your knee operation, and you had to take your home off the market a little bit. And let's see what happened with that home and how you were able to succeed as a seller in this market and some characteristics that sellers should have and use wisely to their benefit what is going on in the marketplace with data and timing and how conditions could change and you still could sell that home. We'll find out when we come back. Okay, the Barry and Larry Show is back. Happy to be back. This is Barry Miller, and happy to have Larry Stanley back with us, your consumer guy. Now, many weeks ago, Larry, as you know, was selling his home. Larry had a knee operation and had to take his home off the market. Larry's home is in the top 10% pricing, and every price range we're able to analyze. We have it all for Colorado Springs, roughly a dozen price ranges, about 15 price ranges for Denver, just because it's a broader, bigger market population-wise. We have a couple extra price ranges just so we could do that detailed data. But Larry, what was going on before you had the operation, and what are some of the characteristics that you now know and knew then that you as a seller would have to take as a smart seller?
Well, Barry, when we put it on the market, of course, we were optimistic about a quick sale. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen. We had people looking at it. We had a steady stream of people looking at it. We just didn't get a reasonable offer before I had the surgery.
And one of the things we say, Larry, in the business is we didn't have the right buyer. But you said massively important pieces of data. We had steady traffic at the home. That's critical data. If you're not getting those showings, you know there could be something wrong. with the price or something. Usually it's price, could be something. So we did not have indicators that the price was wrong, just that it wasn't going to go quickly like everyone says they're selling in one day.
Yeah.
It didn't happen.
No, it didn't. So what we had to do, Barry, is exercise patience. Mm-hmm. This is a word that doesn't apply to me very well.
No, nope. Same here. But we all did it, didn't we?
That's right. And we finally got a reasonable offer from a family, and we accepted it, and we're now preparing to sell it.
And the details of that reasonable offer, Larry, you had to do something that you're not saying all sellers have to go and have a knee operation and take their home off the market, right? You're not saying that.
No, I am not.
Okay, so that's not a path you have to follow to be successful. But Chris, give us some of the data specifically for Colorado Springs on the high price end. In Colorado Springs, our high price end, when we're using macroeconomics, is over 700,000. So use those macro number. We only have three price ranges: $1 to 300,000, 301,000 to 700, and then Larry's was over 700,000. What are the number of days of those markets in Colorado Springs versus just generally the whole marketplace?
Yeah, they vary significantly. You're seeing the I wouldn't say the lower end of the market, but I would say the median, almost the median mm-hmm. price of the market is still sitting around 20, 30 days of inventory. However, when you get up over that, it's looking a little bit more, especially right now currently, even though compared to a month ago.
Okay, so yeah, I got it. So we're up a little bit. How about over 700,000? What is that now, and what was it 2 weeks ago in Colorado Springs? Do you have that?
Yeah, so I got probably 20 different pages here, but yeah, so right now it's, I do have it exactly right here. So we're looking at over a 30-day increase in days of inventory. It was about 65-ish days of inventory for a week or 2 weeks ago, and then now it's over 90 days right now.
Okay, for which price range is that?
Over 700,000.
Over 700,000. The one you're looking at is 700 to 800,000 exactly. 700 to 800,000 was 92, et cetera, and now it's whatever it is now, the number you gave.
Right, right.
It's higher. So it is on the increase. It's not 10 days. It's not 8 days. It's not 13 days. It's much higher, the days of inventory. And that's what higher end sellers have to realize. And Larry, you did. And you still beat the average by taking it off the market. Now let's give, as who always said that, the rest of the story? Paul Harvey?
Yes.
Paul Harvey, here's the rest of the story. The rest of the story is this. Larry's agent, we're just not naming names, Larry, I'm happy to be that, et cetera, but any good agent would do this. We stayed in touch with the buyers that had expressed interest before we had to take the home off the market. And two buyer agents in particular stayed in touch with me. We'll say it. Okay. But one of them said, "Barry, wait, he's getting healthier." Yep. He's getting healthier. Good. She was happy. "Barry, can you hold it off the market another day or two?" I said, "Well, we're not ready. It's still 3 or 4 days before it goes on the market." She said, "Good, because my buyer is finally ready to make an offer." We talked on the phone and negotiated orally on the phone, 100% legal. It's smart a lot of the times, not smart other times. But it worked because their offer was then in writing almost exactly what was acceptable to you. And so we did with you, she did with the buyer. We negotiated orally, they put in an offer, the house is not on the market. So here's a home that's not even officially listed in the MLS that has gone under contract. Why? Because you had the patience, you had to take the house off the market. That doesn't mean the agents stopped working. The agents kept working on your behalf, and lo and behold, time passed and a strong offer came in.
Barry, I had one other advantage. I had a real estate agent who didn't pressure me to take any offer that came along.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been there before, where the agent is pressuring you to take offers that are really too low and impractical. I didn't have an agent that did that.
And I really needed to hear that because I don't even think that way. And, you know, I try to think how other agents think. You're absolutely right, because that is one of the items you as consumers have to realize, that you need to be in tandem strength with your agent, not in an arm wrestling match with your agent.
Well, and not only that, but you have to be willing to say no to the agent. No, I'm not going to do this. It just isn't the right price. I didn't have to do that, thank goodness, but I've been there before.
Been there before, and not a good place to be.
That's correct.
And it happens all too much for the consumers in our city, our market, Colorado Springs and Denver, and Larry, it happens all over the country. And it is wrong. It's not only not right, it's wrong that agents do that, but it happens all too often. So good for you, good for your agent. That, ladies and gentlemen, is how you use data and how you use timing. And I guess, Larry, we have to add how you use good agents on your behalf. You don't use good agents on your behalf. It's not quite the right words. It's you have an agent who does everything on your behalf, including take the home off the market and keep it moving in the marketing arena, not just take a sleep for 2-3 weeks while you have a serious operation and serious recovery time. So congratulations. I'm glad under contract. It's going well. The inspection and all of those items are proceeding. So we'll give another update next week.
I'll look forward to it.
Fair enough. Comments from you, data guy, Chris. Anything that you observed in our conversation there that you'd want to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I just heard that that patience is a virtue, and it does take some. It can take some time, especially with the upper end of the market to sell the home. But the right offer, if it's priced as you said, Barry, correctly, you're getting the traffic coming into the with a lot of showings. It will happen.
It will happen, and data comes in daily. If you have no showings, that's data. If you have two showings, that's data. And every agent knows what should, every good agent, every top agent knows that showings are a barometer of what's going to happen. And agents know that. Consumers, you now know that because you listen to the Barry and Larry show. Showings is, the number of showings per day is a barometer of what is happening on your home. Larry?
You know, Barry, I've had situations where I've been selling homes where I've had zero visitor or lookers for 3 or 4 weeks in a row. I mean, mm-hmm. It's been that slow. We didn't have that here. We had daily people coming in, almost daily.
Yeah, sometimes we'd miss a day. We were averaging 1.5 showings every 2 days.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, that still says it's a very strong market. You just got to wait until the right person comes in.
Right person comes along. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, yes, your agent should be getting feedback from the buyer agents. Your seller agent works hard to get that feedback sometimes, but they should be getting some feedback and sharing that with you. How much of it you want shared is up to you and your personality. Most of our sellers we recommend, is it okay, Larry, if we just send you the reports that we get as we get them? You're going to get raw data that's going to pick your home apart and make it look like a not well-built doghouse sometimes when it is very, very, very beautiful and very nice. Are you ready for that, sellers? That's another thing that you may want to have, may not want to see. My wife says, I don't need to see that. My agent will tell me the results of that. And so it depends what you want, but you should have the option to have that. But know this, a good seller agent is going after that feedback. From whom? The buyer agents and the buyer.
The comment that really bugged me, Barry, the most was they said it was overpriced. And I just didn't believe that.
And it didn't happen.
That's
right. I mean,
it
proved not to be true. And by the way, I'll say this publicly. Any realtors listening, when I'm the buyer agent, you see this feedback, you could do with it what Larry did. Throw it out. As a buyer agent, I always say it's overpriced. If my buyer does not want that home. Why do I say that? Indicator, check that box, overpriced, because I'm going to negotiate something. It might only be overpriced by $1,000, you know, but I'm going to indicate that. And so that's interesting that you bring that up, and I'm glad you did. But right. Feedback is important, and that's part of the data that you want. Let's take a break, and then let's shift gears and shift focus, gentlemen, and let's come back and focus on the buyer. And let's give some helpful tips to home buyers and talk about cash that's available for you as a buyer in certain circumstances. Let's see how you could enhance your position in today's marketplace. Yeah, this is good. Ladies and gentlemen, the discussion continues here, and we're focused on the home buyer. You, the home buyer, what's going on? Well, you heard the data. The raw data says there's a few more homes to look at. It's not a big deal. I put it in this perspective. Now, your competition, maybe you had 15 to 20 buyers in competition with you for a given house. Maybe you're down to 10 to 15 buyers. That's a decrease. That's a measurable decrease. But you still have to think that you're going to, now I'm going to give the real number. You still have to think in the price range, most of the price ranges, up to the top 10 or 15% of the price, up to the high prices, up to that, you have to think you're probably going to have 5 to 10 other buyers wanting that house. So that's still a field that you have to navigate. It's not full of minefields, okay, that you have to avoid, but you had better be prepared or you don't even get a second look by the seller. Larry?
That's something I had to learn the hard way, I think, mm-hmm. Barry. Mm-hmm. I understood what we had been saying about it, but I just couldn't mentally apply it. But now I can.
Now you can, because see, Larry is a home buyer now too.
That's right.
And let's see, we applied it last week. And you put in, I do a lot of negotiations orally, okay, with top agents who agree to do that. It works very well.
Yep.
And so there was a property that you and your wife were interested in, and we were making an offer on Saturday, but they were taking offers until Monday, until Sunday night. And good agent, okay. And she, the seller agent, said, well, okay, what are you doing? And then as she said, yeah, I'll fill you in. I have permission to tell you facts and figures of other offers, just generally, generally. And then I then talked to her orally, and we were in the top two. And then that was early in the afternoon of Sunday. By 5 o'clock Sunday, she said, I talked to her in the final hour, and she said, Barry, she said, you're more than 25,000 off. She said, an offer came in that we didn't believe we'd get. It's a clean, clear offer. It's just wiping up the table. I talked to buyer Larry, and buyer Larry said, uh-uh, Barry, we're not going that high. We're not going that high above the appraised value, and you did the right thing.
Yeah, and you have to be prepared to do that. I mean, the reality is this is a very difficult market to navigate through.
Very difficult market. Some of the big things, a four-letter word is one of the biggest things that the more of it you have, the better you will be in the eyes of the seller. What is that four-letter word? Cash. Cash.
Get me to it.
See, yeah, cash. The more cash you have, even on Larry's offer, Larry, on the seller's side, not to jump over there, but the buyer of your home, as you know, is a VA buyer, and that's always nice to you know, help
of
a vet. But that vet is putting down over 20% cash because he knows this is a tough market. And yes, a 100% VA offer does not look nearly as strong to any seller in this market, as does one where there's 20% or more down. Now, there's even more to take place in the market prices. In the market prices in Colorado Springs of 500,000-ish and below, if you're not an all-out cash buyer, it's going to be tough to get the home because many people are finding ways to put their cash together.
And Larry, yeah, I was wondering, obviously they bought your home. Did they allot you any post-owner occupancy to...
Yes, they did. They offered me...
the max, up to the max, 60 days.
Yes. And hopefully I will not need it.
Right. But what about that? What about that point to buyers? How does that apply to the home buyer?
I'm sure it made their offer more appealing to you.
Oh, it certainly did.
So buyers... Cash is important. And yes, cash in every situation. Whether you're a VA buyer, okay, who could get 100% loan, if you have the cash, you could put out some of that cash as part of your offer. And then, frankly, legally, you could get a loan that's 100% loan. But then if that loan doesn't come through, there's a little tweak mistake with the appraisal or something like that, why you've proven you have the cash, and then you would have to use some of that cash to buy that home. It puts you in a strong position. You still have to have a very strong, good negotiator, buyer agent. And then there's timing. So, Chris, you just hit the second of two items. There's only two categories of items. Money, we're talking about that. Cash works in a big way. And then the other is timing. And buyers, just make it open for the sellers to say, hey, why do we say the limit is 60 days? Because in Colorado, there's a state government form that says this is a post-occupancy agreement. Yes, it's a lease. Call it what it is. It's written by attorneys, approved by the state of Colorado, and it's a lease for up to 60 days. But why 60 days? Because the buyer owns the home. Okay, and they, because they have bought it, they've closed on it, and their lender, they told their lender they're moving into it. Lenders want buyers to move in within 60 days. That's the history of the 60 days. Wow. So give it to them. But if the seller only needs 30, give them 45, just to give them that latitude so they're not under pressure if they have a little hiccup in their life. So there's some two big ones, timing on the post-occupancy, cash on the front end. Let's talk about the cash program that we have in this final minute or two that we have in this segment. We have cash available to you as listeners. Now, sure, you have to utilize us as your agent. It's with a specific lender who stepped up, and the RE/MAX Masters Millennium broker stepped up, put together this program, and you listeners could take advantage of it. What do you need to do to take advantage of it? Simply call me. Give me a call anytime. Text me. I'll get back to you within 24 hours. That's my public promise, within 24 hours. Occasionally, texts and calls are not getting to me when you're sending them to me, especially phone calls. Once in a while, somehow Verizon, I guess, and it's not a big deal. It just happens once in a while. I don't get it in the first 10 or 12 or 15 hours. But within getting those texts or calls, I'll call you within 24 hours, and we can just talk about it. It's a simple program, straightforward. Very beneficial to you, and it just likely will give you 100% cash so that you could be 100% cash buyer on the property you're looking to buy. And the main stipulations, you must be approved for a loan and approvable for a loan through the lender that is part of this program. But no humongous added fees that all the ones on TV put in front of you. Chris?
Yeah, Barry, you said to text or call. Could you please provide your number so they could?
Oh, no, I'm going to keep that a secret. We're going to keep that a secret. Thank you very much. Larry?
I'll volunteer with that.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
303-888-3788.
And I'll gladly repeat that number, 303-888-3788. I'm a night person. If you want to talk live, your best shot is to call me between 8 p.m. and 11 p.m. any night of the week. I know you morning guy, Larry, but buyers, consumers, you could do that. And by the way, we have some ways to make that program work for you as a seller also. So give us a call. But there's some hot, valuable tips on how you navigate the marketplace, how you use data to your benefit. Know the timing. Know what's going on. Know the timing of the other side and have an agent that's going to use that for you. And then keep in mind that all-important lease. When we come back from break, we're going to talk a little more data, and then we're going to get right into leasing, so important in property management. Hey, what about renting that home that you were thinking of selling? Maybe you could hang on to it as a huge beneficial investment for you, but then you need a top property manager. You need to know how to operate that program. And rest assured, the best way to operate property management, Larry, is to what? Hire a
great property manager.
We have one coming on soon as we have this break. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Happy to have you with us. We didn't thank you for being with us, and Larry and I talk about it frequently. We're so grateful for so many of you who listen on a regular basis. Give us calls, give us texts, give us emails, and you email us questions. We get back to you rather quickly most of the time. Our email, by the way, is real simple. It's a five-letter word, truth. Because you'll hear the truth from Barry and Larry. Whatever it is, it'll be truth. T-R-U-T-H at BarryandLarry.com. Email us anytime with your comments, with your questions. And yes, we love your comments about Barry. Sometimes you say, ladies and gentlemen, too much. And you don't want me to do that. I'm okay. You know, tell me those things. We like hearing from you as listeners and we respect you. Now, a lot of data, a lot of information was given out today. Well, here's a little bit more before we hear from Eugene. We're getting our shows about ready to put on a website, and soon the shows will be on a website, as well as Larry's View and Barry's World of the Past. It's quite a big effort. I almost said ladies and gentlemen again. It's quite a big effort, ladies and gentlemen. There, I'll say it. I'm comfortable saying it. But more and more information is coming forth for you. And we thank you for requesting it, for utilizing it, and for staying in touch with us. Now, as we said prior to break, what about that lease? Not the state program of a seller occupying the home for a little while longer, but Eugene, we shared the idea and suggestion, because it's a good one, about a lot of our listeners who may be first, second, or even seventh or eighth or 15th time home sellers. Maybe this time they're going to keep that property, keep that equity. And again, we have cash that we could help them do this now, okay, and keep that property as a rental. Well, that, the only best way to keep a property as a rental is to do what Consumer Guy said, have a great property manager. That's you, Eugene O'Brien with RE/MAX Masters Property Management. Welcome, of course.
Thanks for having me, ladies and gentlemen.
And share with our listeners what process, what thoughts they should have, what you would be sharing with them on the phone if one of our listeners calls you right after the show and say, hey, well, what were that Barry and Larry guy talking about? Take it from there.
Yeah, we would have a discussion about their situation and what they're trying to achieve. And then I would talk through them the different strategies on how to do that. A lot of people think that you need to sell your current house in order to buy your next home. But of course, we can have that discussion and they're able to turn their current primary residence into an investment property, get a lease in place before they buy their next house that will offset their debt and enable them to buy more when they buy their next primary residence, which is a great tactic, strategy and tactics to pursue. And I can certainly help with that.
Yeah, and I'm just going to add a financial piece and then come back to you on the management piece. But on the financial piece, that home that they're keeping, okay, if an investor bought that and put 25% down, that investor nowadays with our program, the Vestera investment program, they are doubling that 25% down payment in less than 15 months in Colorado Springs.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Big time. And having neutral or typically positive cash flow.
I'd be extremely surprised if it wasn't positive cash flow. Mm-hmm. And I'm such a fan myself that I'm doing that exact same thing with the home down the Springs.
In the Springs. It's such the right market to do it, including Pueblo, by the way, also in that. So what about this property management? A lot of people say, oh, I could do that. And I've met a lot of people who not only said they could do it, they tried it. And I don't know any of them who succeeded at it. And yes, I do know some who belong to the investment clubs that we have, one or two really good ones like I-Corp, Investment Community of the Rockies, et cetera. They help the full-time do-it-yourselfers, but those full do-it-yourselfers are full-time, and they're learning from people like you. And they're average at it, but all they're doing is their own property. Tell our listeners all the services that you provide, starting with scrutiny of tenants.
Yeah, so we're a full-service property management company, which means we'll market the property across 50 different platforms. We'll really get a broad coverage. We'll shoot marketing videos so people moving in from out of state can get the exposure that the others that are in state can. And then when we have people that come along that are interested, we screen them initially, but when they apply, we do a federal credit, criminal, and rental history background check. We can see their financial life all the way back to when they first took out their credit card. Mm-hmm. And then we verify their employment, and then we talk to all their previous landlords to verify their rental history. And with those three pillars, you can really be confident that you have a good renter.
Plus, you have the experience in your company and your team, a great team, by the way. You have the experience of knowing how to measure the reports that you're getting.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes situations happen in people's lives. They might go through a divorce, unfortunately, or the global financial crisis is another example. And if they fell on tough times during that time, doesn't mean they're necessarily going to be a bad tenant going forward. And there's ways to work with people to give the homeowner a bit of peace of mind and put some confidence in the tenant to rebuild their financial health. One example is just doing a double deposit, which is returnable to the tenant, of course. Mm-hmm. But it just gives that homeowner peace of mind that if something does happen, they've got more time to resolve the issue.
So there's a whole lot said, Larry, to give good people who've had a tough financial situation occur another chance.
Yeah, and, you know, tough financial situations occur all the time that aren't the fault of the person, the borrower.
Consumer, the tenant,
consumer. Yeah. Yeah. And you need to do that. There are people that intentionally will try to defraud you, but they're few and far between, really.
I'm glad you said defraud you rather than work the system. I credit anyone in this country that will attempt at the, preferably any teenagers listening, learn how to work the system. Because I guarantee you the system is working you. As a consumer, this show is successful because we help you navigate the marketplace. They're not whatever dog whistle words for work the system. They're synonymous with Barry and Larry. They're synonymous to working the system. Put the system to work for you, because I've said it 100 times in the last year, the industries do not exist for your personal welfare. Eugene does. You need Eugene to help you with your personal welfare. You need agents to help you with your personal welfare. Eugene, please share for our listeners your contact information, especially your phone number.
Yeah, give me a call, listeners. We'd love to meet you and chat over the phone, whatever it may be. 720-421-2509. I'll talk to you soon.
Talk to Eugene at 720-421-2509. Chris, any closing comments? Larry?
Yeah, I appreciate everyone for listening today, and hopefully you guys gained some valuable information. I'm sure you got at least a gem from this show.
And it's great to be here, and I'll see you all next week.
And about 1 o'clock this morning, I was watching ESPN Sports, and he said, if you're fortunate enough to see your dad, say Happy Dad's Day this weekend. Bye-bye.